Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
The Irish language film Arrochd tells the story of Colman Sharkey. He's a fisherman, a father and a husband living on the shores of Connemara in 1845 as the famine descends. And the movie is in cinemas as we speak. The film has received rave reviews. The Irish Times called it unmissable and beautifully crafted. It's picked up film festival accolades and along the way was selected as Ireland's official entry for the 2021 Oscars. Recently it's been optioned for a Hollywood remake by one of the producers of The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. I'm going to give you a tiny little bit of it here now before I talk to the director. That's Tom Sullivan, and this is Arrochd.
A lot of your tenants have been struggling, sir. There's already been some cases of starvation.
Nonsense. Crops have failed before and mortality levels have been perfectly acceptable.
They will not be singing songs about Patsy.
Okay, Arrochd is what it's called, and I'm joined now by Tom Sullivan, the director of the film, to talk about the film, which is currently, by the way, on nationwide release, as I say. So, Tom, how are you doing? Are you all right, Tom?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. First of all, fill me in on the premise. That bit there, it happens about, 15, 20 minutes into the movie, and then things go horribly wrong in the next 2 minutes or so, and that off we go. Isn't that it?
Yeah, so, I mean, it starts off in a fishing village in the west of Ireland, just before the first blight. And it's kind of late summer and they're all getting ready for the crops. And we have the main character, a guy called Colman Sharkey, who is a very well able kind of individual with a young family. He's a potcher, he makes putcheen, makes money on the side. And he has his father would have had a relationship with the local landlord. So when the blight hits, he goes up to the local landlord to plead leniency for the villagers and advises them not to pay the rates because they're going to need the money. And he knows, he has a sixth sense that something is bad is coming. And when he goes up there, he brings an ex-soldier with him, and there's a murderous situation occurs up there which forces him on the run, and then he isolates himself and we jump 2 years later, and then that's where the film goes, and he ends up meeting this young girl who kind of kicks him back into it brings his humanity back to him.
Yeah, so that's why, it might sound pretty grim, hunger, famine, landlords, Ireland, 1845, the start of the famine. But
it's great crack, Dave.
But you say it's the story of hope. I say it's a thriller.
Yeah, no, that's what I always set out to do. Yeah, it's a historical fiction, a thriller based with the backdrop of the famine is what I would kind of describe it.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, the film is called Arrochd, and it tells you, at the beginning, it means monster in Irish. Now, I'm just wondering, is the guy we've just heard there, Michael McElhattan, saying, crops have failed before and the mortality rate has been perfectly acceptable. And he's not as monster as you think in some ways. I mean, he's not as loathsome as people in these movies often are, because it's so black and white, that kind of thing sometimes. But he is, he's terrible. I mean, he has some connection to the main guy in the movie because he knew his father and probably liked his father. Anyway, point about it is, what's the monster in the movie? Is it the famine?
Well, there's a few of them. I always loved the word Arrochd growing up, and it always intrigued me, and it means lots of different things. It's like means, darkness, dark spirit, malevolent creature. There's a lot of meanings to it. So it works really well for the blight as in a natural kind of monster that comes. There's obviously the British reaction to the famine at the time, which was, the monstrousness of how they turned their back on us, and then obviously the Irish weren't innocent either. A lot of people profited from this, and the film touches on that as well. So, in situations like this, it's never black and white, and I think the monsters are a part of human character as opposed to moustache-twirling bad guys, necessarily,
Yeah, at one stage, Donald, the lead actor, is one thing I didn't know, or did I read too much into it, he takes up a potato that isn't working at all, obviously. Can you smell potato blight before you actually see it?
Yeah, so that was a thing that struck me.
Really?
When I was doing my research, is that you get the smell first, and I don't know whether you ever left a bag of potatoes and forgot about them in under the sink. It is actually one of the most putrid smells that you can smell. So it does really smell like death. And there was a scent of the spores as well on the air that travels. So in the film, I try and capture that I don't actually show the rotting potatoes first. What I show is that, you know, they're all sitting around after dinner one evening,
yeah,
and he gets a smell and he walks outside and...
Exactly, and also the blight's coming from the Midlands, so it's only a matter of time, most likely.
It's coming across, yeah.
Hopefully it won't make it to Connemara, but of course that's not the point. I mean, it does. Anyway, the point... Okay, so like, when you look at the movie, and like, the look of it is obviously fantastic as well. Windswept crags and islets and very atmospheric, etc. But also, Donal himself, Donal O'Healy, I mean, he really had to throw himself into the character, didn't he? Right down to a massive physical transformation.
Yeah, so I mean, I knew when I was writing the film, like, kind of had an inkling that the budget was never going to be that big. So I kind of knew I had to depict the famine through an individual, and that it had to be an individual experience. I didn't have the money to show workhouses or famine ships or any of that. So I said to Donal early on when I asked him to play the part, I said, look, we're going to have to show this through you. And it was a massive responsibility for him, but he just did such an incredible job for us that the film really is built on his hard work and sacrifice, you know.
Is there a level at all that, like, you're trying to say that the famine didn't just kind of decimate a people, and we know it certainly decimated a people, but it robbed Ireland of its culture?
Yeah, so I mean, there was a silencing that happened after the famine, you know, and I think it happened in our language, in the sports we play, you know, in all our kind of it silenced us in a huge way, you know, quite kind of. Initially, the silencing was obvious. That, you know, we went from a population of, the population halved, you know, a million died and more than that emigrated. So, but then it also allowed for the language, I think, to be eroded. It weakened us as well. Anyway, these things were happening because of the occupation, but I think it was almost like the death knell for us in a lot of ways. And so we're lucky that we still have it, you know.
I mean, you were writing a story about a character study kind of thing, isolation, loneliness, trauma, etc. But are you seriously, you said somewhere once that, you know, this wasn't, you didn't set out to write anything about the famine. You just stuck it into the famine, did you?
Yeah. So what happened was, I have an interest as a storyteller. The things that kind of get me going, Dave, are things like trauma in individuals and characters that have trauma in their history. So that's where I always start. And then I wanted to do something in Connemara because I have a huge connection with it. My partner 20 years is from there, and I was educated in Irish, in Dublin, through the Irish language schools. And my first teachers were all from there. So it's been part of my life for years. So I wanted to do some kind of post-apocalyptic film set in the west of Ireland on the water. That was kind of where I began. With this individual, the first scene I wrote was actually, it's halfway through the film, and he's ostracized himself from his people and he's living a feral existence on an island. So that was what all I had. And then as I started to develop the character, the famine almost started to walk into it. You know, it just started to walk its way in. And honestly, Dave, if I had set out to write a film about the famine, I wouldn't have made it, you know, because the weight of the weight of it would be so heavy that I think it would hobble you in a way. Whereas I was free because I had already developed this character, and the famine kind of came along on the journey with me in a kind of a strange way.
Yeah, and the catalyst for everything that happens from that first scene that you mentioned, which is like later in the movie, the first scene you wrote, you know, is a very violent scene, but, you know, you do not dwell in any way at all on the violence, and there really is no need to either. It's an aftermath thing that you really kind of show. But just, you mentioned the sea there, and Kate McCulloch, fantastic on the camera, and keeps the camera very kind of low down to the water, and the sea being flat and grey and all that. Do you tell her, hold on a second, Kate, no, take that down a bit. I know more about this than you do. You're laughing too much.
No. Kate was on board from even like from when the script was being written. So I was lucky enough that, she collaborated with me very early on. So we kind of came up with the visual together. We did recces and stuff. And, Kate was a huge part of the creation of the visuals, you know.
Hey, I'm just thinking, like, what it is overall, though, is a character study of one man's humanity in the face of grief that you couldn't even begin to describe. It's just terrible stuff. But there is the young girl. They kind of save each other, if you like, although, you know...
Kitty.
Now, tell me about Kitty. She is fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah, so Sasha plays Kitty. So I wrote this character because I needed to. What I suppose what I had was this person who'd been laid low and as low as you can go, really, and I needed something for him to cling on to. So I created this kind of character that was weakened and sick and unwell, that he kind of was forced almost to help. But what happened was when I cast Sasha Quinn, she was such a tough cookie and a tough spirit that I kind of was forced to change the character to suit her. So what I got instead of this weakling kind of character who Coleman ends up helping is I get this kind of really tough cookie who ends up kind of kicking him back into back to life, which is far stronger and a credit to her, you know.
And shooting the movie, you did it in Letterkenny. How was that? Was it good?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, Letterkenny is the people there. They helped so much. As somebody says, it takes a village to raise a child, you know. It took a village to make this film, and they were all there to help, and I couldn't have asked for better. And look at that landscape.
Absolutely. I mean, it is such a fantastic landscape for a film, and everybody knows that. But is it the case that you and the cinematographer wanted to get the darker side of Connemara in some ways, like the dark beauty instead of the prettiness, as you've called it once?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, me and Kate were very aware of that when we did our first recce. We did kind of look in other places because logistically, like, Letterkenny isn't great logistically because there's no main hub or centre around it. So, you know, in terms of insurance and production and all that crap. And so we went to Achill and we went to different places. And but Letterkenny gives you that almost, it's a stunning beauty, but it's a dark, dramatic beauty as opposed to a prettiness.
Yeah. By the way, also, like, the movie is only a fraction in English, but like anybody who goes along will understand it very easily, and it's there on the screen for you as well. The fact that the film, by the way, is now optioned by Greg Shapiro and his team, The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark Thirty, and all that. What does that actually mean?
I don't know what it means. No. So basically, what happens is they option a film like you'd option a book. So they kind of put a hold on it. Nobody can do it with it for a year and a half in terms of, you know, make a sequel or anything like that. And they say, look, we're going to option this. We're going to try and develop this ourselves into something, and we're going to attach a big Hollywood director to us. But they do it for a year. They see if it goes anywhere, and then they if the option is realized, that's when things get really exciting. But I've been chatting to them, and they're really smart and they're really cool people, and they don't want to do a famine film, you know, which was a relief, to be honest with you. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect there, but they were like, no, we want to set it, you know, 1700s. It's an immigration story. It's set in America, somewhere on the East Coast. So that's the kind of vibe. That's where they're going with it. So they just love the beats of the film, and they're big fans of it. Right. So it's been amazing.
Well done, I should say, to Screen Ireland, the BAI, and TG Carr as well. 1.2 million, the movie is there. And well done to you, Tom. Fantastic. It's written and directed by you. And onwards and upwards for whatever you happen to be doing next. What are you doing next? I know what you're doing next. You're doing a drama of some sort set in Scotland.
Yes. So I'm writing a script at the moment set around the formation of Celtic football, which was formed by a famine refugee, a monk called Walfrid, who set up Celtic to feed the starving children.
Around 1870 in Glasgow, yeah.
1870 Glasgow. Yeah. And I've another dark comedy that I'm writing as well, set in Dublin, a bit like The Snapper, a bit like Trainspotting. So that's interesting as well. Yeah.
All right, well, listen, Arrakt it is. It's in cinemas nationwide. Congratulations, Tom Sullivan. Tom, thanks a million for talking to us on the programme today.
Dave, thank you very much.
Good luck. Take it easy. Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.